Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Wake up to Golic and Wingo in the morning and drive home with Danger and Battaglia in the Sports Bar. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
It is one of the biggest games in years for the Buffalo Bills coming up on Saturday. No, the Bills cannot win the division, but it certainly would go a long way for this year, for the future. Sal Capaccio, WGR, will be on the sidelines this Saturday in Foxborough. Sal, happy holidays, and where I want to start here, I want to start with Josh Allen, because if you go back to that last Patriot game, it wasn't very good for Josh Allen. If you're looking at this game, I would look at it like you can't say final exam, but it's an exam for Josh Allen. How much has he learned since that Patriot game? Sal, if you take me back from that point to where we are now, how would you describe the growth of Josh Allen from that Patriot loss to where we are today?
Well, happy holidays to you and all of your listeners as well. And thanks for having me on, several weeks, whatever it is, throughout the season. I really appreciate talking to all the fans over there in Rochester. So thank you. I would say, the biggest thing, Gene, is he has learned how to take care of the ball. That is the number one area of growth in the year, number one area that was needed from his growth. And he has said on multiple occasions that game was a turning point for him. Like, he has said that since that game, he learned. He went back, he even said this week that game's hard to watch, going back and looking at the tape. But since that game, basically, he's done a great job of minimizing his mistakes in the passing game. Josh Allen is still a work in progress. A lot of things that he still has to do better. But one of the things he did a lot better since that game, if you go back and think about it, and I'm looking at the numbers right here now as we do it. So counting that game, we had three interceptions. He had six in the first four games of the season. Since then, he's had three since week four. So that's his biggest growth. And, he just kind of learned what he can and can't do and what he shouldn't try to do.
In that sense, Sal, I know they're not going to tell you exactly the game plan, but could you see this game playing out where, from the last game, I looked at Tom Brady throwing the ball away, and I think maybe he took a grounding, but I remember thinking to myself, that's a quarterback that realizes, as long as I don't screw this up, we're going to win this game from Buffalo's standpoint? Or do you go in there wanting to take shots and put up points on the board, and if you turn the ball over, so be it? How do you approach this game offensively when you are going up against one of the best defenses in the league?
Well, you can't say if you turn the ball over, so be it. If they turn the ball over against the Patriots, they're going to lose. It's as simple as that. You just can't do that. But you have to let Josh Allen be Josh Allen, and you have to hope that those things that he did learn and those things that, have been really nice as far as taking care of the football, they translate to this week and that they continue. I don't think you can be scared of Josh Allen. If that's the case, he shouldn't be your quarterback. But at the same time, I think you have to make sure you have a game plan designed where you know that minimizing mistakes is going to be optimal. So you don't take chances unless they're there, and you don't try to have needless types of play calls or things like that could put yourself in harm's way. This is going to be a field position game. It's going to be a game where mistakes are going to matter. And I think it's a game that reminds me a lot of Sunday night. Sunday night wound up 17-10, and the Bills grinded it out. They wound up taking the ball more away than they gave it away, but those giveaways almost cost them against the Steelers. If they do that against the New England Patriots, they don't take the ball away, they're going to lose this game. So they have to make sure they minimize the mistakes. I don't think you can be scared of Josh Allen. You got to let him play his game.
Sal, I remember after the Bengals win, and Jerry Hughes was speaking to reporters, and he was in this scrum, and somebody asked him, it might have been you, about, I can't remember, but somebody asked him about the Patriots, and his quote was, well, yep, it's going to be a tough week, and we'll get. In other words, he just kind of downplayed it like another game. I thought, oh, that's not the quote I was hoping for, you know. And Bills fans, I'm sure. My point being, this is a team that has played a big game on Thanksgiving, and then they played a big game against the Ravens, and then they played a big game on a Sunday night game. But this might be the biggest one, considering the context of and the history of everything that has gone on with New England. Was anybody saying anything out of the ordinary about this being more important this week, knowing that you're going against this team that has been in your way in this division for so long?
No, nobody said anything like that. And you're not going to, they're just consistent all year in the way that they talk. And I believe them, which is, you know, that they're trained. They've been trained under Sean McDermott for 3 years that the next game's the biggest because it's the next game. And, you know, you just have to approach every day one day at a time. Now, look, I mean, I asked Taron Johnson in the locker room about this, and he said, well, I'd be lying if I told you it was just another game, because we know that they're the Patriots. We know that they're as good as they are, and the fact that we're trying to catch them. But I don't think suddenly you just, you know, changed anything about what you're doing because of the New England Patriots. This team has been so consistent in the way that their approach is every single day, week in, week out, day in, day out from Sean McDermott, that, you know, it doesn't surprise me that they just kind of stay on script. And the same thing with Josh Allen. He was asked this week about the hit from Jonathan Joseph on him that, you know, knocked him out of the game, Jonathan Jones. And, you know, he said, yeah, there's nothing special or extra there. Like, it's football, and I'm not going to worry about that. And, you know, so they're just kind of compartmentalizing and keeping this game into perspective. But we all know and we all see the overlying storyline here, which is an ascending team in the Buffalo Bills and maybe, we don't know, a declining team in the New England Patriots, and when that is going to intersect. And is it going to be Saturday night in Foxborough, where suddenly people point to that game and say the day that the Bills finally, you know, beat and overtook the Patriots? But that said, even if that happens, the Patriots, all they have to do is beat the Miami Dolphins the following week, and they still win the division.
Yeah, it would be this strange world where, so what would happen in that scenario? Week 17, where we see the Matt Barkley show? I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're allowed to do that here and, you know, in the media. Would this be an instant? Yeah, rest everybody?
Well, if what happened, if the Bills win or if the Bills lost this week?
If the Bills lost this week, but they're locked in as the 5 and you really have nothing to gain next week.
Yeah, I think you'd see that. I think you'd see maybe Matt Barkley play a whole game, but I think at least a half. I think Sean McDermott would probably, to me, play it like either a third preseason game or maybe even a second preseason game. He'd probably rest several veterans, and he'd give his younger players a few series, maybe a half. I don't think there's a point in a meaningless game, so to speak, to go out there and play everybody when you have a playoff game the next week. You know, there's a reason why this team has been as healthy as they are. You look at the injury report, there's two guys on it. One guy who's out, Ty Ezeki, that's it. We're in week 16. You know, McDermott's not going to do anything that's unnecessary to put his players in a situation where they're not going to be at optimal performance when he needs them. So, and then those reps are valuable for some younger guys as well. So, yeah, I think if they go to week 17 and the division is still not, and the division is not open for them anymore to win, and they're pretty much locked into the number 5 seed, then I think you'd see some players play who don't normally play, and maybe some of the starters rest, or at least, you know, come out of the game a little bit early.
Sal Capaccio will be on the sidelines coming up Saturday. Our coverage, by the way, that day we're Sal, because we have the Sabres on here, so we're going from Sabres to you to Amherst. It's going to be a crazy day on our station, and certainly people can listen to it on CMF as well. Sal Capaccio, WGR, our guest here in the sports bar. Sal, we were joking yesterday how refreshing this is, because normally this time of year we're talking about the draft, we're talking about draft position, we're talking about free agency moves, and it's barely come up. But I'm going to ask you about one thing that I think will be coming up, and that is Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips, 9.5 sacks, the job he has done this year. Sal, I mean, is this a player that is setting himself up for a big payday?
Probably. I'm just not so sure that big payday is going to come from the Buffalo Bills. You know, as great as he's been for the Bills, and he has been, and as much as you'd like to keep him, you know, there's got to be a price point where the Bills say, you know, we just can't do that. We can't pay a defensive tackle that much money and break the bank. You know, especially considering the way Sean McDermott runs his defense. You look at the snap counts every week, you guys rotate. You know, and that's part of it. Jordan Phillips is doing what he's doing on a, you know, rotational basis pretty much, but they can't. They're going to have other guys come up in the next few years here, and I'm always the first one to point to tell people, hey, don't worry about that right now. But you do, if you're going to start handing out contracts now, you do have to start thinking about that. You know, Tre'Davious White is going to finally be able to renegotiate after this year, because it'll be after his third year. And then they do have the fifth year option that they'll obviously exercise, and he'll be under contract for 2 years. We have to think about that. Matt Milano is going to go into his contract year next year. Jordan Poyer is going to go into his contract year next year. Shaq Lawson is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. Now, most of the guys on defense are locked up, and you have 1 year less maybe with a lot of these guys. But if you start handing out contracts and paying big money to rotational players, then you're going to have less money to pay the guys you really need when it's all said and done. So, yes, I think that Jordan Phillips is setting himself up here. I think what helps, though, is Jordan Phillips loves Buffalo. He likes playing a lot in Buffalo. He likes being here. He had a chance to go to free agency last year, remember. He did not do that. He signed before free agency hit because he wanted to come to Buffalo and he wanted to prove himself again. Now that he has, he's earned that right to go out and earn that money if he can. And if the Bills can keep him, I think that's great. But I do not think that they should get in a bidding war for him, so to speak.
Sal, I mean, it's got to be something to these players that it's 2 in the morning on a Sunday. That's a work day for most people. What was that? I'm assuming you were on that flight. What was that like coming back there? I mean, it can have been like 2 years ago, but was that surprising to you that so many fans showing up at the airport to cheer on the Bills after a regular season win?
Not surprising to me. I called it. I said, people are going to do it. Some people said I was nuts. I said, nope. I've lived in this city. Grew up here when it was routine and regular, when fans would show up at the airport to welcome back the Bills back in the late 80s when they started getting good, into the 90s when they're going to Super Bowls. And then we saw it again a couple of years ago. We saw it this year against Dallas. It's just what people do. They have a chance to go out and, you know, welcome their team home, and that's what makes them feel good. They can celebrate the moment together. I wasn't surprised. What I was surprised of was how many people were there. I knew there would be people there, but, Gene, there were, I mean, maybe 1,000. I don't know, 500-600 people. It was incredible. And it was just really cool, the scene. Nothing surprises me with Bills Mafia anymore and how they embrace and they appreciate their football team and the love that they give them.
Bills and Patriots coming up Saturday, 4:30 for the kickoff. Sal Capaccio will be on the sidelines for this one. So the Patriots. Sal, I would imagine there's two factions of Patriot fans right now. There's the one that say, nothing to see here, everything's fine, we've been through this before, and others that are freaking out thinking this is the beginning to the end. I want to believe that what I'm seeing here is real, that this is actually, this isn't the Tom Brady we're used to seeing. When you're doing your homework, you're looking at this Patriot offense, what are your eyes telling you?
Two things. Number one, they really, really, really miss Rob Gronkowski. They do not have a tight end to replace him, obviously, but they don't even use their tight ends. They're pretty much ineffective, and he just made such a difference opening things up around the field for everybody, and he was such a beast himself, obviously. But number two, look, they're just older, and I see it. I can see that they're Julian Edelman is banged up, and he's older, and Tom Brady is banged up, and he's older, and their offensive line is getting older. They have some youth there, but they're banged up as well. I'm just seeing an older group that may be starting to show a little sign of that age, and hey, man, I'm getting older. I play flag football. I feel it. These guys are out there playing this collision sport. I understand. And, you know, look, I've been one who at one time or another said, yep, I think this is it. The Patriots look like they're declining. And it came back to bite me, just like everybody else out there, it seems like. But I got to tell you, this is the opportunity, I think. This looks like a Patriots offense that just cannot find its way for several reasons. And that's Tom Brady does not look like we've seen Tom Brady. He's getting rid of the ball a little bit quicker. He's not seeing the field quite as well. I don't know if people follow or know who Ben Volin is, but he does a great job for the Boston Globe. He had a great video breakdown this week that I retweeted on my Twitter feed about this very thing and the things about how the reality is all of these things that are happening to Tom Brady at this very moment. So, yeah, I mean, maybe we can call it just the fact that he just doesn't have the receivers. But come on, you know, how many times have we seen in the past he did it with patchwork wide receivers, right? So I don't know if that's it. What I see is a group that's getting older and they're starting to feel it, and you can see that it's affecting their play.
James White coming out of backfield, Sony Michel. How big of a concern is that, Sal?
Oh, they're always a concern. You know, they do a screen game really well, and the Bills have been vulnerable to the screen this year. And you know, they're going to throw a screen that's going to get some big yardage in this game. You're going to say, yep, that's kind of what they do, and the Bills weren't ready for it there. It just seems to happen once every time they play this team, and you hope that it doesn't go for really big yardage and, you know, scores a touchdown. But they're good out of the backfield. They're not running the ball that well as a football team. They're just not. And the Bills, that has been their Achilles heel on defense this year, but they've done a nice job lately, including against the Baltimore Ravens, who are averaging over 200 yards rushing a game. And they came in here and ran for what? I think less than 120, I think it was, maybe even just over 100. They did a nice job, the Bills did, against a physical running game of the Pittsburgh Steelers that has a very good offensive line. So I think they've figured out a few things on that side of the ball. And, you know, they're going to go against the Patriots team here that would like to run the ball, but they just haven't been able to do it really, really well like they want to. And the Bills have done a better job lately of stopping it.
Sal, I'm going to put you on the spot and take a right-hand turn here. Here in Rochester, it's not like Buffalo. We're kind of in the radius of Syracuse Orange basketball. And I don't know if you saw this last night. The Orange win. It was a bad crowd, and it's students are out. It's 8 o'clock at night. It's a bad opponent. The Orange are 500. There are many reasons for us in Rochester. Sal, I was ready to go to the game, and we're getting pounded by snow. And by the time I get to the thruway at 7 o'clock, I'm going to make the game. I go to the casino instead with my friends. My point being, Jim Boeheim today, you know, came out and last night said the crowd was pathetic. He walked it back a little bit today. Do you have a problem with Boeheim calling out the fans, or in general, Sal, does a coach have the right to kind of call out a fan base like that?
Well, I think anybody has a right to kind of say what they want to say. Whether it's a good idea is a different question, right? And I think Jim Boeheim at least has afforded himself, you know, the credibility and opportunity to speak his mind to a fan base in a place where he has spent basically 50 years. But many times in the past, like this time, Jim Boeheim just doesn't say something that I think he should say. I mean, I'm sorry, says something he shouldn't say. Now, he has a right to, and a lot of people will say, yep, that's our coach, we're going to roll with him. But I also think he has to kind of understand the situation here. The weather was horrible, like you said. Look, I called Niagara at St. Bonaventure last night on ESPN+. I drove from Orchard Park after practice to Olean. It's normally an hour and 15-minute drive. It took me 2 hours in that weather. So I don't know what the weather was like on that side of the thruway, but I can only imagine. And it's tough for people. And I got down to Olean, the same thing. Students were out. It was not nearly the crowd you normally see at the Riley Center. That's to be expected. So to me, it's kind of like, why does Jim Boeheim not understand these things? And, you know, so it's one thing if it's a game, an ACC game, while students are there and, you know, you're having the same type of crowd. Now, the other thing is, this is what kind of gets me a little bit riled up about this, which is, you know, you have not had an exciting basketball team that's won like it should over the last several years. I know they went to a Final Four just, what, 3-4 years ago. You had a nice run there. But the recruiting has tailed off a little bit. The team is not playing that well. You know, I think Jim needs to take some ownership of this. I think Jim needs to understand that we're used to and we want a better, higher standard of basketball. And then when that happens, of course people are going to pack the dome. They've been packing that dome for years and years and years. So, yes, I think Jim Boeheim has earned the right to say what he said. I just don't think he should have said it.
Sal Capaccio, well said, as I knew you'd have a take on that, being the Orange grad. Sal Capaccio, WGR in Buffalo, coming up on Saturday. Bringing you back to Bills for your final thoughts. You said earlier you see this game playing out the same way as we saw Sunday night. Close.
Yeah.
Sal, is this finally the year the Bills win a meaningful game against Tom Brady in Foxborough?
Well, look, Sunday night, they took the ball away 5 times, and that was the difference. They put it on, they gave it up twice, you know, and that was not, that's something you just can't do against the Patriots, but they took it away 5 times, which is what ultimately turned the game. I think the Bills can win this game. I do. And I think that the way this is set up, the way that New England's been playing lately, I mean, why not? I'll say it. I think, you know, I'll pick the Bills to win. It's going to be a low-scoring game. They have to play pretty much mistake-free football on the offensive side. But I think that they can shut down the New England defense, much like they did in Week 4. Tom Brady had one of the worst statistical games of his career in that game. And by the way, he has not fared well against Sean McDermott as a head coach since McDermott got to Buffalo. So I don't know. I haven't picked an official score yet. I will on the pregame show. We do that on the radio network. But, you know, I'm thinking something like 16-13, something like that. It's just going to be a low-scoring game. And I think the Bills have an opportunity, and I'll pick them to win here. And you know, keep the dream alive for the AFC East this year, I guess.
Sal, in this day and age, there's if that plays out the way, and we get to Week 17, can you imagine? And we don't. The NFL will announce that start time, and I would imagine they would put the start times for Patriots and Dolphins the same times as Bills and Jets. you're going to be on the sideline. You're going to hear these random cheers that the Dolphins end up doing something.
Well, that's no different than 2 years ago, remember, in Miami, right? I mean, the Bills needed the Bengals to beat the Ravens. And I don't know if I ever told you guys the story of how that all played out, but you know, the Bills needed to win against Miami, and they needed, obviously, the Ravens to lose to the Bengals. I think there was one more team in there, and they also lost.
The Chargers,
that day.
Yeah.
I can't remember. The Chargers. They lost. So the game's being played, and the Bills are winning. The Bills have the game in hand. There were people, like, there were tons of Bills fans there in Miami, as there always are. There were people behind the Bills bench, like, sitting in the stands, and they were shouting the score of the Ravens and the Bengals game to Bills players. Like, they were like, guys, the Bengals are winning. And then, guys, it's still a close game. Keep playing. Like, because remember now, the Ravens were winning late. But it was surreal. And I remember I kept checking my phone. I kept updating listeners on the score. We kept doing that. And I'm telling you, it was wild, because you don't want to be caught up in watching the scoreboard and thinking about other games, especially as a player or someone like that. But you just couldn't help yourself. And there were just people yelling the score. Every time there was something that happened in that game, I can remember people like yelling to the Bills players about what was going on. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, I could imagine a scenario where, okay, the Bills took care of the Jets and the game wrapped ahead of time, but here we go now to New England and Miami. Yep. Bills fans, stay in your seats. It's on the scoreboard. These are crazy times, Sal.
Yeah, and I think the more surreal thing would be the thing about how crazy it would be if Ryan Fitzpatrick, of all people, right, could find a little more magic in that right arm of his to try and send the Bills to the playoffs in that scenario. That would be pretty incredible. I don't count on it. You know, Miami's just not a very good football team, and you know, New England blew them out the first time, but hey, man, that's football. That's why you keep playing. You just never know.
Sal, safe travels to New England. We appreciate your reports all year. Hopefully we'll catch up with you during the playoffs. Happy holidays to you and your family, Sal, and all the best.
To you too, and to all your listeners. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.